Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, all of you. I sure hope it's going to be a good morning. I can almost say that it will because you're now on the Global Vision for Living Today show. You know what? It's raining out there, and if it's raining in your life, you're going to hear some good news because we're right back on What Can I Do With My Life, Part 3. Now, we have some rules, and the only one that's enforceable is if you're doing anything, if you're moving around, stop it, or either I'm going to mute you. You'll be able to hear me talking, but you won't be able to say anything. What Can I Do With My Life, Part 3? You know, it's very important that we really look at these type of questions that we present on a weekly basis, but right now we're going to add a little twist to it. What haven't I done with my life? People are wondering, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be in China next week, I'm going to be over in Europe in 2 months. We're always fast forwarding, which really we don't know from second to second because we're mortal beings. Only the God of the universe, He calls himself Jehovah in Psalms 83:18. Only he can say what he wants you to do based on his destiny for your life. But we're going to do a little twist here. What can I do with my life, part three? What haven't you done? A lot of people say, you know I should have gone to school to be a doctor. You know I should have went to my grandfather's house and helped him out before he died. I mean, all types of questions can come up, but now we've got to think about this. You want to know what you can do with your life? Well, let's take a look back at what you haven't done, what you know your heart has asked you to do, what you know this unseen God has put on the books for what your purpose is in life here on earth. What can I do with my life? Well, let's talk about what haven't you done. We have Colonel Harrison on the show with us. You know, we're approaching the 300 episodes. Thank you, God. That's one thing we could check out. When you work for God, God's going to pay. He's going to pay with your life. He's going to pay with extended health. He's going to pay with blessings for you and those that come after you. He's a mighty God. Now, some might say, oh, I don't have time for God, but we're going to put that in check. Colonel Harrison, what can a person really do with their life when they see they have made a wrong turn, they had got off the train at the wrong destination point, they have decided all on their own what they think their life is worth and what they're going to do? But when a person that wants to serve others, serve an unseen God, serve a living Jesus Christ. I mean, what steps should they take?
Good morning, Dr. Cupertino, and listening audience. First and foremost, they should yield their lives to God. That's the first thing. God is the creator, and God wants us to yield our lives to him so that he can give us directions
and guidance. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. When you say yield their lives to God, why don't you explain that? You know, that sounds good, but how can a person yield their lives to God if they don't know anything about that God? You know, we operate on a hearsay premise, most of us in this world. Well, I heard this. He said that. I heard that. But when you talk about a person yielding their lives to God, what are you really saying? How can a person yield their lives to God? You know, we are into the thousands because we are no joke. We tell it like it is, and whatever it is, we're going to make sure you understand what we're telling you to do or giving you any advice. So when a person yield their lives to God, let's kind of stay there. How would a person yield their lives to God? Do they know him? Do they want to know him? Should they know him? Let's kind of break that down before we go any further. You answered or yield their lives to God. Talk to us about how a person would do that, how you yield to God.
They must surrender. Yield means to surrender. Their ways, their life, their thoughts, their lifestyle. They've been living a certain way for so many years, the way they want to live and regulating their lives, the way they want to regulate their lives. And in the Bible, it clearly teaches that we have to surrender our lives to God. We have to seek God, search for God through prayer. So that is one of the key elements that means someone has to be taught how to surrender their lives to God and how to yield their lives to God. So I mean, in that regard, just like we surrender certain things to certain people or friends in relationships, we have to establish a relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ and surrender our lives unto Him to let go and let God. And oftentimes it takes a teacher to teach one how to submit and how to surrender their lives to God.
That is very true, because in the last book of Matthew, there were those not out there in the world standing at the bottom of that mount. There were no Roman inquisitors standing at the bottom of that mount when Jesus Christ said, "Go ye therefore." He wasn't sending fools out there to talk to fools. He wasn't just picking out one because they had a pretty face. That was not the case. He said, "Go ye therefore." So he was talking to his trained and educated spiritually individuals that had been by his side for when he first took off in his God-ordained ministry. He wasn't talking to Grandpa because he was selling goats in the township. He was talking about called disciples that became apostles after his death. That was who he was talking to. He didn't put no shine coat on anyone because they said, "Oh, well, you know, he looked good, so I'm going to follow him. Oh, you know what? He smells good, so I'm going to do what he said." So now we got an issue here for anyone to wonder about what they need to do with their life. Oops, there it is. Trained, educated spiritually, and God-ordained people were told to go out in the world. Leave your dog at home. Go out in the world and be a witness to what you've seen and heard. So those people were obviously eyewitnesses to all Jesus Christ went through. They knew his style. They knew his language. Oh, yeah, they spoke his language, literally. They were not just fools sitting on a pew bench. Okay, go on out there. Yeah, go on out there. Go on out there. What did they know? Have they heard of Simon Magus? Can they talk about the beginning of the Catholic Church? Because they're going to start. These people need to be trained. Cut out the garbage talk. Cut out the cliches. We're sick of that. That's not giving us no salvation. So these people, you and me and others on the line that profess to love God, oh, my God, that's really, I love God. To love somebody, you've got to know all about them. You ain't going to just love some strangers you don't know nothing about. Somebody's listening to this morning. Somebody. You got to know that you know that you know, as Bishop Mim said, what God would have of thee. Don't come to me. Open that Bible up. So right now we got an issue, and Colonel Harrison was right on it. If you want to know what you can do with your life, everybody has a mentor. Everyone knows, really. If anybody's even thinking about God, they already know those that are out there for real. Ain't begging you for nothing. Ain't asking you for no money. Ain't asking you for a brand new car. They are coming in the name and under the foretold mission, the Great Commission of God. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. So if a person want to know what can they do with their life, let's turn this around. Well, what haven't you done? Because most people over 10 in America have heard about Jesus, because the commission says, go on out there, and I'm with you to the end, which means it's going to be an end. He said that, I'm with you until the end, either your natural life or this created part of where your feet stand. So we're not making no mistake about that. But now how can we get people out there to be a teacher? They're not going to walk in no place to you. Forget it. They come 1 week, if a relative invites them, you don't see them no more. We're not, he's not interested in that. We're not interested in them kind of people, even being our friends. The Bible says, what fellowship does darkness have with light? Zero. He told him, you better get out there. So when Jesus left that commission, Colonel Harrison and others, what really was he telling them to do? I said not them dirty Romans of the time, but what was he telling his that say they love him? What was he saying to them, Colonel Harrison?
Jesus was instructing his original disciples to go and teach. Teach about the gospel of the kingdom and how their lives could be improved, how their lives could be changed for the better, and who he, Jesus, was. So he taught them and he empowered them so that they could go out and teach others who were uninformed, who had no knowledge other than the original religion that they were practicing at that time, which was Judaism, which was a religion that was primarily for the Jews and the ancient Israelites. But he was instructing them to go and teach. And that's how people, we go to school, we go to elementary school, go to secondary school. We go to learn. We have a teacher that teaches, instructs us in a certain course or activities, whether it's vocational training, academic training, whatever it is. And that's how we acquire knowledge. Then we can go and teach someone else, and we're empowered to do some teaching, we're empowered to do some work based on the knowledge we have obtained from one who has taught us. And so the same principle applies with one teaching a layman or a person who has no knowledge of who God is. We have to teach them who God is, to Jehovah 83:18 God.
Oh, yes, that's so true. And he's made a way. He has organizations that do nothing but that. I know I was driving to get me a sandwich, and I pulled into a parking lot, and I knew who they were. You know, it's one thing, them Jehovah's Witnesses, you don't have to guess who they are. You know, they got a way about dressing and even the shoes they have on. So when I pulled in, I never seen them before, but I knew in my heart who they were. They clean shaven. I mean, one of them was bald, and he looked like he had grease on that. Had a shirt on with a tie. I mean, they weren't trying to look like the ancient Babylonians. And don't mention them Assyrians. They weren't trying to look like them. Oh, my God, if you Google Assyrian and just look at their face and how they wore their hair, they weren't doing that. He said, my people shall know. In my heart, I knew they were. And so, you know, I didn't really want to talk to them or anything, but as I was turning in, one of them said, hey, lady, I knew who they were. That's proactiveness. Don't wait for me to come up to ask you for no Watchtower magazine. I said, oh, hi, you guys. Are you witnesses? Oh, my God. All three of them. Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're servants of the Most High God. Yes, we are. No playing around. They had they was in their trunk looking at some Bibles. They were picking up things. And so I said, oh, do you guys have the latest Watchtower magazine? And, of course, they said, oh, yeah, all three of them. They was trying to scramble in their bags, and they gave me one. And I have it here because I'm going to walk in my church to my witness. I'm going to say, see what these people here are doing? See what they're doing. And so I was shocked by that. And then when I said, oh, are you delivered around here? Because, you know, if you do, we live almost in a walking distance. We can offer you a free home Bible study. You know, we can come with snacks. I mean, I was shocked. But I knew who they were. And so another man went and walked up and said, you know what? I'm getting some vibrations. You are a wonderful person. You have a study with Joe Twinnison. I said, oops, I got to run. But I'm telling you, when he said go out, that's what he meant. And they weren't no fools. They're not standing. I know they weren't standing there with three scriptures in the head because there's a law with them. You don't run out if you don't know that Bible. And I'm taking a little time because I hope I'm helping somebody that's ministering. You don't run out there like that. You have to answer 90 questions. And three different people, three different elders come to your home. They ask you 30, then next week 30. You don't run out there and got to say, I don't know. What are you out there for? You've been listening. What are you out there for? Them people putting their life on the line. I know you heard 7 or 8 got killed over in Germany. They out there and they own their job. So what can I do with my life? You got to emulate those that are out on the street, buses, wherever. Even start in your home. Start it because you cannot be one of them if your home is raggedy. You got they got to know everything about who's even coming in your house. If it's once a month, they got to know because they don't want you around people that might influence people that are inside of what they call a kingdom. Hey, y'all, get it together. You've been talking about them like a dog, but you see where they at. You see what they're trying to do. Better leave them alone. I told one in our Sunday school, get off of them. I'm tired of coming here and you talking about them. Get off of them. Talk about the Hindu and the Kalyan. Every week he was saying, you already know who I am. Get off of them. He ain't mentioned them no more, and that was over a month ago. Do not do that. I might not be sitting with them, but God never loses a witness. That's what I've been told. So right now, let's take some steps on what a person can do with their life if they're serious about their life. Some don't care. Just let me get up, get my check out the box or wherever and go get something to eat and go drive, get my fingernails done. I wish I could tell how I operate. I don't believe in none of that. Because I only got 24 hours in a day, just like you. So what can a person really do with their life? He said, you're in the world, but you ain't part of it. So stop trying to do and get on the schedule of the world. A lot of us, you know what? You cannot really tell them. You really can't. But what can a person do with their life? Colonel Harrison, give us three things that a person can do if they're serious about God. I mean, they got to know something about him if they're serious.
Number one, get to know who God is. And I mentioned
here we go
all this
again.
On
OG. Wait. Wait. When you say get to know God, okay, if you are saying get to know God, then reiterate a little bit on that. Because anytime I see hands up, I already know what they mean. So when you say get to know God, how can a person get to know God? We're going to stay on this.
They have to get to know someone who knows the Bible, who can teach them.
That's the same thing.
So
aren't you still on prayer? Because how is an alcoholic going to open his door up and try to go out and find God, find somebody that know God? Now, we already stressed those that most people already know. I'm not going to say look for one of Jehovah's Witnesses. On the back of the magazine, it tells phone numbers, all that, how to get to them. If you want a home Bible study, check this box. I mean, where's that magazine at? They are proactive. So when you say get to know God, we have got to tell the people how is that going to happen? Who would you recommend? If I woke up and saw I feel I'm dying, I think I'm going to be dead next week, and they want to find God, I'm not going to tell them to go get it, because that's really what I would tell them. You can start with them witnesses first. Go, you already see Kingdom Halls. They ain't got different names of churches all throughout the city. All of them are called Kingdom Halls. I'm going somewhere, y'all. You've been following these other people. You ain't got nothing. Life is still bad. Your family is bad. Kids way worse. I could sit here and talk. But I don't want to say that. if a person wants to find out what to do with their life, they need help. But you already said this, Colonel Harrison, about 3 weeks ago. Prayer. Aren't we missing that?
Yes.
So, number one, what should they do? Oh, well, you know, I don't follow your God in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't really know you. You know, I've been bad in my life. I need help. That's all you got to do. All the Bible says, Romans, all that call on the name of the true God shall be saved. So that's number one. Everybody needs salvation. Everybody want to be saved from hell and wherever else they freaking on Friday night. So, Colonel, three things. Let's start with number one. Isn't it first they got to fall on their knees? They don't need nobody helping. Get on their knees. God, in the name of Jesus, call him Jehovah who he is. The Most High God, that's where I'm going. I'm not going to the lesser God. We can talk about that. I'm not going to try to get in touch with the first fallen angel. The first fallen angel, Ahakalak. I'm not going to Ahakalak. Somebody better hear what I'm saying. Name ain't even in the Bible, but it's in Judaic text. Hey, y'all, what the Vatican done got, they got more fun than I got. Hey, we going there one day for those that want to be scholars and want to stop hog one with God. So isn't that true, Colonel Harrison? Prayer is number one. They got to pray in the name of Jesus to do what, Colonel Harrison?
They pray in the name of Jesus that there's that God will either send them a teacher or they'll see revelation knowledge of who God is. So prayer is number one. Submit is number two. Submit, and that's almost like yielding. But so pray, submit, and surrender. Most people don't want to yield themselves to anything or anyone they're uncomfortable with or they don't know. And so as you pray and you interact, that's having a talk with God, you're interacting. God will respond oftentimes with sending someone to you who is a teacher, who can teach you who he is and his ways. So one has to pray. They have to be willing to submit themselves and their lives to God so that they can be led once they learn who God is through the instructions of the Bible. And then once you obtain that knowledge, then you continue to study the Word of God and fellowship with like-minded people, so you grow in more knowledge and understanding of God. Then eventually you will become a teacher where you can teach others who God is. And that's the same process, a duplicative process, but it begins with a person first becoming unto the knowledge of who God is. And prayer is the interaction and the requirement that God requires of each of us, because he's the creator, and he wants his creation to commune with him through talk, through conversation, through our actions, through our works, and through our deeds, and through our lifestyle.
That surely is true. You know what? And you are dead right on it, because in walking with the disciples, Jesus said, pray ye this way, our Father. The devil, his agents, anybody have heard living about the Lord's Prayer. They said that is the most, and you know what? I didn't know it was over 7,000 languages. I think I heard that wrong. I sure hope I did. That is in all languages, the Our Father Prayer. Our Father. Jesus didn't try to take credit. Our Father who art in heaven. So for all those don't mention the name Jehovah, oops, you already got a problem. So that prayer is something, while it is and can be made personal, but our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, praise and worship. That is the whole foment of a Christian's life. Oh, I'm going to go praise God. Oh, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to say hallelujah. I'm going to praise God. Hello. Hi there. Hallelujah. Praise God. If they don't know anything, most people have heard about the Lord's Prayer, so we would have the teacher pick that prayer apart and see what that person is missing, because the scripture says, without God, you can do nothing at all, and I and God are one. Jesus did not play. You see, he walked away. And Mary had 8 or 9, 10 kids. So that's the historical story goes. He left them behind. And when the word came about what he was doing, I tell you what, the world has met a Savior. Walking along, he said, James and John, they came out of Mary's house. Here I am. Send me. And we know many followed Jesus in that day through the original 12 minus the one, the thief. And look who was standing there at the cross. Oh, my God. What can I do with my life? Number one, learn how to honor God. Number two, learn how to take care of your brethren, because we got it twisted. And number three, the most of all, love and serve God with your whole heart, mind, spirit, and soul. You ain't going to do that walking them down the street, driving them down the street. We right back to what Colonel Harrison said. You got to be taught. You come into the Kingdom Hall, just walk in. You ain't going to be able to open your mouth up if they have not taught you. I'm telling you, it's not a whole lot that can answer 90 questions. You're not running up in there to spread fooldom. Nobody's going to have to, you coming in there, running your mouth a lot. That's not going to happen. You in there for a purpose. Have to learn how to get out there on them doors. So ministers, preachers, pastors, goats, if you're not, you know about Balaam. If you are not doing that, then you don't need to know what to do with your life. If you have not been set up, many are called, but few are chosen. And then few are chosen, oh my God. Revelation said there's a fiery furnace left for them, and your eyes shall see it. I may not want to see nothing. I hope it's not me. But before we close, Colonel Harrison, you have a organization. You're heading up the International Platform for Peace. The website is www.IP4Peace. I, the letter I, and then P, letter P, all lowercase, IP, and then 4Peace.org. What are they doing to help people with their life's walk?
International Platform for Peace, thanks for asking, Doc. Promoting peace, faith, and family. Without peace, the family is not safe. We're not safe. Our communities are not safe, and the country is not safe, and the world is not safe. So we're advocates for peace, teaching people how to get along with one another, how to do conflict resolution. Next is family, the faith. Faith without faith, it's impossible to believe who God is and please God. So faith is belief and trust in God. So we're teaching that component of the call of faith. And lastly, family, the unity of the family. Without the unity of the family, then brothers and sisters, we have no foundation. So peace, faith, and family is what the International Platform of Peace promotes, and that's our theme, and that's also the motto of the organization.
Yes, it is. And that International Platform for Peace also teaches one how to put God first. Ain't no need of putting yourself first. You're nothing. You less than $50 cremated. You're nothing. Putting God first in all you say, do, and in your daily walk. And there is a blessing. You ain't going to tell people you serving God, and he don't pay. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys, at International Platform for Peace is dormant out of California and from the West Coast, the global vision for living today. This is our call number for hosting a live shows. We welcome you to tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember, if you don't put God first, you're not about nothing. Don't try to prove it to me and no one else. You don't put him first, or if you know to put him first, you are nothing at all. God bless you. Have a great weekend.